ABC News.
It is complicated. Every few years, implant manufacturers have to go through a reaccreditation and reapply for their right to sell implants onto the market. And this came up for the Allergan implants last week. And what happened was the body that was looking at their application rejected it on grounds that it was not risk. The risk was outweighed the benefit. So that then led to the regulator in France saying that implants have to now be recalled.
Do we know why they're considered risky and how risky they might be?
Well, look, there's a lot of speculation on that. I'm not privy to the actual details at all, but I suspect it's to do with these reports of lymphoma around breast implants that, you know, we've studied in great detail over the last few years. And the Allergan implants, certainly not the only implants that cause it, but have been reported as being associated with this this cancer.
Here, the Therapeutic Goods Administration suggests that existing implants, existing stock, will still be able to be sold and used in Australia. Do we know why they've taken that decision?
Well, look, I can't speak for the TGA. They've obviously got way more information than I have. But let me put this in perspective, Glenn. I think that this move is not a helpful one. You know, a lot of us have been working on this lymphoma for quite some time, and we're actually at a point where science, data, evidence, epidemiology, in other words, the patterns of this disease, are starting to give us really good clues as to not only how it happens, but how to prevent it. So when things like this happen, it does throw us a little bit off balance. I think that the most important thing about news like this is that we need to think about the patients. You know, if a woman with an Allergan implant picks up the paper, what I don't want this to do is to cause panic. ALCL is a relatively uncommon occurrence. I'm not saying we should underplay its significance, but in the scheme of things, it's not something that, you know, should lead to major changes, particularly as the data has now come in showing that by understanding how it comes about, by performing better surgery, but most importantly, and this is something I've been saying for a while now, is that any woman with an implant should be followed up regularly. So it's not good enough to just put an implant in and sort of call me if there's a problem. I've said this now for some time, both in print and in on radio and on television, that we owe it to our patients, if we're going to do breast implant surgery, to offer lifelong follow-up. If the problem's picked up early, like with anything, it's eminently curable. So from that point of view, I don't think we've got anything to fear, and I certainly don't want this to create panic.
So any Australian women who may have these implants, they shouldn't be too worried about the risks they may face?
No, so by all means be concerned, but the take-home message is that really nothing has changed. There's no new information that's putting anyone at greater risk. None of the other regulators to date have called for a removal or a ban of any implants. But what I do think would be a good first point of call, if someone was worried, is to get medical attention. Now, whether this is your local doctor or going back to your original surgeon, I actually would go one step further and say that, all surgeons putting implants need to see their patients regularly, ensure that they're kept safe and away from problems.
And this might be a good impetus to do just that. How much regulation is there around the industry in Australia? Is it adequate?
Oh, look, so I work closely with the TGA. I'm part of the expert panel that advises them on ALCL. And I've actually take great heart in that we have a very good system in Australia. I don't want people to distrust the checks and balances that are in place. Devices do go through quite a bit of scrutiny. And then not only that, once they are approved, they need to have ongoing surveillance in terms of their safety. And the TGA does work closely with people like me who have published, particularly on implant problems, so that we can brief them on the latest data, the latest evidence. It's a lot harder for people like myself. You know, I'm immersed deep in research and have been for some years. My understanding and my ability to explain some very, very complex things is limited, and particularly when you're trying to distill it into a message of ensuring that, you know, people with implants are kept completely updated of what the latest is. The challenge going forward is not to make decisions and jump to conclusions, but to rely on a slow, steady accumulation of science, of evidence, of data, a distillation of that and a sharing of that data across the whole sector. So between clinicians, researchers, the regulator, industry, and of course the general public. And then thirdly, I think a clear communication and language that people can understand, so that they don't pick up a piece of news and start to jump to conclusions or to fear or to panic. I think that's the last thing I would like to happen.
And how popular are such breast implants in Australia? Are they more common than ever?
So, look, I think that that's a very good question. I think, obviously, the cosmetic surgery industry is a growth industry. Mm. And you could argue as to why that's the case. And certainly the explosion of media, social media, promoting some of these treatments for whatever reason, matched with, I think, also the recent growth of, corporate cut-price clinics that have reduced price as a barrier for some of these procedures, has led to certainly more implants going in. I mean, we estimate now that it's around probably 20,000 women a year that undergo cosmetic breast surgery. So that's, what you would say is not a huge number, but it's these women, I think, going forward that we need to keep a very close eye on. ABC News.